opposed to territory.
Do you think it's racism?
I don't want to characterize it. I just think they made the wrong decision.
And my last question doesn't relate to climate change, but to immigration, though there are many climate refugees. And that question is about Jeff Sessions speaking on a right-wing radio talk show about the judge, the federal judge in Hawaii, who stopped the Muslim ban. And he said, that's Jeff Sessions, he said, how is it possible that a man on an island in the Pacific can stop the president of the United States? Senator Schatz, what's your response?
That island in the Pacific is Oahu. It's where I live. It's the capital of the 50th state, the state of Hawaii. And I would just add that Jeff Sessions voted for that judge.
That's Democratic Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii. Later this week, we'll bring you a special report on the resistance to the largest open-pit coal mine in Europe. That open-pit coal mine is just miles down the road from the UN climate summit. We went there on Sunday and visited the tree sit. Hundreds of people have been involved with this protest for years. Thousands came out last weekend. Democracy Now! Is accepting applications for our paid six-month internships. Go to democracynow.org for information. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Felch, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Sam Alkoff, John Hamilton, Nicole Salazar, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud. Special thanks to Julie Crosby and Becca Staley. I'm Amy Goodman. This is Democracy Now!, broadcasting all week from Bonn, Germany.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 8 o'clock, and up next, More Talk Radio. Cecil and Celeste welcome the creators of Black Portlanders and Ms. Lopez Media, two artists who are telling the stories of Black and Brown Oregonians through photographs. You can call in at 503-231-8187 and be on the air.
The district attorney is the most powerful elected person in the criminal justice system, yet most people don't know who they are or what they do. On November 13th, Prison Pipeline speaks with the ACLU of Oregon about their new campaign to educate the public about the role of district attorneys, why they matter, and how we can use our voices to reform our criminal justice system. Join us on Prison Pipeline, November 13th at 6:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Outside the Frame's film screening of Leaving Home on Monday, November 13th at 6 p.m. at Portland Center Stage at the Armory in Portland. Outside the Frame will be hosting a special gala screening of new films by and with youth experiencing homelessness in Portland. The evening will also feature a Q&A with the filmmakers, and a Lifetime Achievement Award will be presented to Tia Plimpton to recognize her decades of work and mentorship with homeless youth. Again, that's Outside the Frame's film screening of Leaving Home on Monday, November 13th at 6 p.m. at Portland Center Stage at the Armory, 128 Northwest 11th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You are listening to KBOO in Portland 90.7, in Hood River 91.3, and in the Corvallis, Albany area, it's 104.3. And via the World Wide Web, it is kboo.fm. This is More Talk Radio. I am Cecil Prescott, and we'll be joined shortly by my co-host, Celeste Carrie. Joining us this morning are two photographers who have been, if I may say, on a mission to photograph parts and people of Portland, women and people of color, and we are so excited that they have found some time to chat with us this morning. We're joined this morning by Renee Lopez. And announce your website. Or mm-hmm. Was it Ms. Lopez?
That's my brand, yeah. Ms. Okay. Lopez Media.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And, you know, I told you I'm going to mess up your name for a couple of times. So, Intisar?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Oh.
Intisar, you got it.
Abiota.
Mm-hmm, Abioto. Mm-hmm.
Abioto. And Black Portlanders?
In terms of my website?
Your website.
Oh, yeah. So the website for the project is theblackportlanders.com. And then my personal website is just my name, intisarabioto.com.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent. And I'm sure if you are even halfway aware, you have encountered their pieces of art throughout the city and in different places. And right now, Intisar has an exhibit at the Lippmann Gallery mm-hmm. at Portland State University. Mm-hmm. And, well, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So let's begin with a very general question. How or why did you hear your calling to be a photographer? How did that begin?
I did photography in 10th grade. That was like one of my first times. And that was when I did film. So I got to develop it in a dark room in high school. So that was really cool and interesting. But I never really, I did that and then just kind of moved on to other things. But I would say for me, one of the big reasons why I started doing photography is I love music. And I wanted to be a part of the music scene, but I was like, I don't sing, I don't rap, I don't dance. I mean, you know, how can I be a part of this? And I was like, I'll photograph artists doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what really inspired me to like really start doing it. And then also I was heavily involved in the Black Lives Matter movement here in Portland in like 2015. I just started realizing too that I could use my camera as a tool to like document what was happening right around me. So that also inspired me as well.
Excellent. So from 10th grade, and did you continue to do photography?
I did, but definitely like way more as a hobby. I never really had a great camera, so I was kind of always messing around. I did also go to Mexico in like 2014, and I lived there for 5 months. So there I also took pictures, but it was just, I just had like a Rebel XT, a very like basic camera, but I was, you know, doing that there as well, but still wasn't taking it that serious yet. And then after that, like, I just was like, this, you know, I want to do music photography. And then I like the activism too, just really sparked me to be like, take it way more serious.
Right. So, yeah. That's so much of a part of the movement over generations in terms of artists and photographers who have played an integral part in movement. So it's part of a tradition.
Yeah.
Definitely. And Intisar, where did you get the interest in photography?
I started taking pictures when I was about 14. I just started mm-hmm. teaching myself, like, through reading books at the library, and my dad had a Canon A1 camera that he had from just his days of like traveling doing music. So I just started kind of teaching myself. I took some darkroom kind of like classes at school, and just continuously learning through reading and kind of like studying the works of other photographers and trying. And so since then, yeah, I've just been learning since then.
Did you have anyone who encouraged you to take up besides your dad to be
I think maybe just I guess my family. Yes. Actually, my first camera, besides the one I was like using, that was my dad's. Like, my grandfather bought me my first like Canon Rebel camera when I think I was 16.
Yes.
So family, and also just I was taking pictures of just a lot of family during that time, and just random things, and people encourage you along the way, and that really matters, especially when you're just figuring it out. Just like family and community.
And Ms. Lopez, mm-hmm. you're shaking your head in agreement. Is that?
Yeah. art for me was not really ever encouraged because I feel like my, you know, my parents were really just like, you got to get a good job. And it kind of, I had to push myself really. And I remember I was like, I was having a really hard time with like depression and seasonal depression because I'm not from here, and moving here was like a big change as far as the weather. And I was like, I need to do something creative. And I was trying different things. I was pretty good at using clay too, but you know, that stopped after high school as well. So I was like, what can I do? What can I do? And then I picked up the camera and self-taught myself too. And just like, I don't know, the drive to just like keep going, even though I didn't really know what I was doing. I don't know where that came from, but I just felt like this is what I want to do, and I just have to like push myself as hard as I can. Now definitely it's like my family is like so proud of me, but sometimes it was just like, well, you start something and then you don't finish. So it was kind of that kind of thing. But they're like, whoa, you've really like all the things you've done since. I remember my mom, we've had a conversation, like I remember 2 years ago when we sat down and you were like, this is what I'm going to do. And she's like, now you're doing it. So, you know, it's pretty cool for that all to happen too. So
it's great to have that encouragement. Yeah. After a while, say, okay, you finally decided what you're going to
yes.
do.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to last more than 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Excellent. So. You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott. We're speaking this morning with two photographer artists in our community, Intisar Abioto and Renee Lopez. And their artwork is really, really great. You have an exhibit, current exhibit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us something about that. Where is that?
Yeah, it's at the Littman Gallery at PSU. It's on the second floor in the Smith Memorial or
Center.
Smith Student Memorial. I don't know how to that long title. Like the Smith Memorial like Student like Union Building or something. Yeah. So it's up all through this month, and it's about 150 portraits or images of like people of African descent here in Portland, Black Portlanders that I've taken over the course of about 5 years. So yeah, it was a lot of work, but you know, just wanting it to be great, be of vision, of this community. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned about 150 photos mm-hmm. of people. Where did you get the inspiration to begin taking photos of people of African descent in Portland?
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Well, I mean, I feel that it still came from community and family. I guess just being in Memphis, just taking pictures, starting out with film, taking pictures of family events, I guess there's always been a focus on like understanding Black history and culture in my family. So just beginning to research through the lens of photography as a teenager and like purposefully taking pictures of Black people back then. So it's been something I've been doing since I was a teenager. And then when I came here, I think I was 24. And I started the project when I was 26. I guess it was just a continuation of the desire to understand Black presence, Black dreams, just like Black existence. And I wasn't from here, so photography was a tool for me to begin to understand the history here, or the present and the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And so I just started talking to people and continuing, I think kind of like how you're saying, like where you find yourself with the impetus or like a desire to do something, and you keep going, and you don't always have that for everything, mm-hmm. but sometimes you have it and you just keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So both of you are not native to Portland, mm-hmm. and Renee, you are from?
I'm from Yakima, Washington.
Okay.
That's where I grew up, and I moved here when I was 22, but I've been here, in March it'll be 12 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And you've been here. How did you get from, I can understand Yakima to Portland. Mm-hmm. But how did, what was the journey from Memphis to Portland?
That's, oh, yeah. Well, about a year or so after college, my mom was planning to move from Memphis just to do something different. And at first, she was going to move to California, but she didn't see what she wanted there. Yeah, and I think I heard of Portland randomly somehow from someone in college. I just looked it up. And, you know, I just look it up just on the internet and, yeah, like in the Wikipedia page. And it just talked about how there was, there was a lot of like vegan food. And my family does like, or they do different ones. Uh-huh. It's just like a thing.
Right.
So that was a, we just kind of ended up here randomly. It wasn't like planning to come from Memphis to Portland. And so I've been here about 7.5 years now.
So your family moved here, or you mm-hmm. moved here?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I moved here with my mom and my four sisters.
Wow.
So it's a little bit of a different story just coming here with my, just, yeah, like my sisters and my twin, and like all of us in our 20s, except for my youngest sister, and then, yeah, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you, Renee, what called you to Portland?
So my grandparents lived here, and uh-huh. They were my mom's parents, so we never lived close to them before, so she wanted to, and my younger sister actually moved here a year before we did, so basically all my family moved here except my dad's still in Yakima. But yeah, we just kind of, my mom and I were like, wanted kind of a new start. We've been in Yakima for a long time, and so it was like time to move on, so that's kind of what brought us here, is family and just like wanting a new start
mm-hmm. in a new city, a new yeah. environment yeah. For both of you. Mm-hmm. So how did you come about the idea of taking pictures of, mm-hmm. of women of color?
That started for me. So I kind of started off doing the Portland hip hop scene.
Yes.
And from there, I just kind of realized, for me, it was like, I just felt like women of color weren't being highlighted in Portland. At least I didn't see it. And also, same as Inches Art, it was like a way for me to connect with people, because it took a long time for me. I mean, I didn't really know anyone or like even people of color really so much until like 5 or 6 years after I moved here. And moving from Yakima, which is like very, it's like, I wouldn't say it's like super diverse as far as, but it's very Latino. So yes. Coming from there to here, the first 2 years I was like, hey, I'm in a big city. For me, it was like being in a big city. And then I was like, something's not right here. Like, we're all the brown people.
Yes.
So for me, it was like, I just felt like I wanted to, also, I didn't growing up in, my dad's military, he was, in the military, and I just feel like I didn't have a lot of women friends. So me just wanting to connect to women of color, highlight them, that's kind of what sparked it, is that I just felt like that's the way that I could unite us and like help share people's stories. So that's what kind of started it all. And I started that in like March 2016. So, yeah.
And people who are your subjects, are they people you know? Do you invite people?
At first, it was a lot of people that I knew. And then word of mouth just kind of started going. And then people would just hit me up on Instagram. Or somebody would say, hey, you shot my friend. And I'm like, yes. So it's been so cool to like meet somebody that I don't know anything about or anything. And then we do like a shoot. And it's like all about me learning their story and learning who they are as a person. And then I share a little bit about that, of what they've told me, and then their picture.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
Was that a similar story for you in terms of getting to know people and to know this region, in terms of did you just walk up to strange people and said, may I take your picture?
Yeah, I did at the beginning. Yeah, I mean, I was living in the Alberta district at the time, so I would just kind of leave my house and go down to Alberta Street and just approach people and ask them how they felt about being here, just like different kind of questions like that. And they would tell me different things, like one of the first people I took pictures of, it looked like he was in his early 20s, yes. Like early or mid 20s, and he was telling me about how his grandmother like came here and like lived through like the Vanport like flood and different things like that. So it was like technically a way for me to learn about things, and also build community just learn and have connection to people. So at first I was approaching a lot of people on the street, and I still do. I don't do it as much because I'm doing other things, like trying to put up gallery shows. And also trying to just kind of manage all the pictures. But yeah, that's the thing. Managing all the stuff. But yeah, no. I mean, art connects people, you know. It's information inside of art, as well as the feeling, the aesthetic. It's a way to share, to continue, to connect, to restore. So yeah.
You're listening to More Talk Radio. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I'm here this morning with Intisar Abioto and Renee Lopez, photographers who have focused on allowing people to tell their stories. If you would like to speak with our guests, our numbers here are 503-231-8189, and I'm sure they will speak to you and respond with kindness and heart.
Yes.
both of you are doing a project in a way in which you allow people to have their stories told. And in a community such as this part of Oregon, where voices of people of color, black people, women of color, and images are rare. How do you think that by doing the work that you are doing, that you are giving space for these unheard voices and images to be seen and heard? How are they?
I mean, I feel like it's continuous. I feel like not just in Portland, but in wherever you are around the world, whether you're in a city where it does seem, I mean, I feel like it's a research of our cultures. I feel like it's important anywhere, and it's important here for very specific historical and present day reasons. And yeah, I mean, I feel like I will be doing this or something like it whether or not I lived in Portland. I wasn't doing a project, but in Memphis, I was still taking pictures of like community events and things. I feel like there are people, there are so many roles in a community, but I think there are people who want to keep the history and like want to like, I mean, these pictures will mean something different in 50 years. So the meaning will change. And I think in this environment, with this like history of oppression of like people of color and indigenous people, it's important to show to ourselves first, not even thinking about like a white audience, like it's just has to teach white people. It's important for us to invest ourselves with care and love and art and color and all those things that storytelling can give to us, like grounding and place. Like feeling like you belong, like you can stay, you can choose to stay or go. So yeah, I'm it's a challenge to continue to learn, but I'm proud to want to be one of those people who can contribute to the history and to the line, you know, of how, I mean, I told you how I heard it was a talk with like you and Rupert Kinnard and Kathleen Sadat.
Okay.
You know, and so okay. So I'm excited to be here to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? Because and even how you're saying this show started, like I get.
That's
like
okay.
In 93 or whatever.
Okay, it's a long time. Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. But I mean, it's, I feel like it's a legacy you have to be a part of because it's exciting and thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's my thought.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's crazy. We're a part of history, definitely in Portland, because just documenting the hip hop scene in the last 2 years, I've seen it like totally change. And it went to where we couldn't have shows hardly ever without it getting shut down, to now that we're doing like these venues that were normally always white spaces. And they're like, I feel like they're seeing they have to accept that they have to like let these different kinds of genres in. And also, just the community is amazing. What we're doing, like, people are really trying to unite, I feel like, and just to be able to document that, what people are doing, and just how the city's changing. Yeah, like, who knows? I mean, 20 years from now, people might look at our photos and be like, wow. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, but again, it's like, I feel like we're both just like documenting what's happening right around us and in front of us in our community. So it's like, we're just documenting what we see. And I just think I love to be a storyteller too and show what I'm seeing just right in front of me happening. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that how you describe it as being a storyteller, certainly in terms of you, Renee, and with your interest in hip hop, that was part of that oral tradition of telling stories and documenting it. I think all of us can, if we're fortunate, can think of old picture albums or pictures that our family have, and that might be Aunt Susie. And then there's a story about Aunt Susie that goes with it.
Yeah.
And I think what you two are doing, are, as you suggested, are documented visibly people's lives. And that's a very important part of the whole arc of cultural understanding and storytelling. You're listening to More Talk Radio. Give us a call if you have a question or comment. To Interstar Abioto and Renee Lopez. They are, on their phones right now, so you might be texting them or Instagram. But if something comes up, please feel free to share. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. Both of you have been in Portland for a number of years now that you know your way around and feel as comfortable in the environment. What continues to amaze you about the uniqueness of this region, and in terms of how does that impact your work? What is it that you're trying to say with your work? What are some things you're trying to say?
I would just say for me, it's like being able to meet these amazing people. For example, Intizar. I met Intizar through photography, and I look up to her so much, and I feel like she's a mentor. But just being able to meet, I feel like people maybe that I wouldn't have been able to meet before, and that's including people that, you know, just like random people, not even, you know. So for me, that's been, because it is a small community, it is cool that, like, you know, once you've kind of put your face out there, you can kind of like build from there and just like keep going and meeting just so many amazing people. So I would say for me, that's like been really cool.
Yes. So I'm interested also in how you decide to choose who you might photograph.
Mm-hmm.
As you look over your whole work, are there people of different ages, or do you seek in a different, I don't want to say personality type, or from different cultural experiences, newer residents or longtime residents? How does that work?
I guess in times when I'm on the street, I kind of just follow my intuition. I mean, it's so many people out on the... I mean, you know, it's just like a vast world on the streets. Things are changing swiftly. And also, so I just kind of follow my intuition about who to approach. And sometimes people say no, not often. They generally say yes. You just have to be honest about right. what your intent is. But yeah, I like people who are transplants, people who are natives, trying to think about the spectrum of blackness or blacknesses, like cultures of people of African descent, people who are like from the South or West Indian, or people who are from from Somalia. Like there's a big community of them here. So just that process. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think I appreciated when you just mentioned in terms of diversity, because I think the popular narrative of Portland in particular is a very white city, mm-hmm. and not very mm-hmm. diverse. And I think maybe you two are people who break down that narrative yeah. by actually seeing the diversity within the population. Mm-hmm. You went down to the Alberta district, mm-hmm. Alberta Arts District, which is a lot different than it was 25 years
mm-hmm.
ago.
A lot different than it was 4 years ago.
And mm-hmm. at the same time, the diversity in the community, I mean, especially if you go out beyond the inner core of the mm-hmm. city, it's very diverse mm-hmm. culturally mm-hmm. and all mm-hmm. of that. So I think it's yeah. important that you continue that documentation.
You know, with regard to the documentation, though, I want to hit on something that you mentioned earlier, Renee, and that was when you got here, not seeing a good balance mm-hmm. immediately, and so you have to go to certain pockets to see people. How does having to move around to actually locate people mm-hmm. to tell that narrative feel to you, and how do your subjects, well, that's actually, this goes to both of you, and mm-hmm. how do your subjects feel about the fact that you have to seek them out, and they're mm-hmm. not easily accessed. You yeah. have to go find mm-hmm. them to the reservation, so to speak.
I would say that's one of my challenges sometimes. Mm-hmm. For me, it's like just finding the time and finding the time with them to be able to meet up, just to be able to meet up, because yeah, somebody might be in Hillsborough and we gotta like, how can we meet in the middle? So for me, I would say that's like a big challenge, and it's because also people are just trying to live. So they're trying to live and pay mm-hmm. their bills, and it's like, you know, so I'm like, all we need is an hour, but I know it's, you know, it can be, it's hard for me. So
an hour could end up being 3 hours,
right?
For the whole process.
Yeah. So it's a challenge. You know, I moved to Beaverton, and so I was like, I liked it because it felt like Yakima in a way, in Hillsborough. And then I moved back, you know, I moved into the city, moved back out, back and forth. And then finally I've been in Portland mainly for the last couple of years. But yeah, I just was hanging out with my friend who has grown up his whole life on 112th and Division. And he showed me all the spots out there that you can go to for like bomb Mexican food. And I was like, what have I been doing? You know?
Right.
When I went to New Columbia, I was like, this is like a totally different world. But though, yeah, it's just so far. So yeah, I think sometimes it's just, yeah, it's a challenge. Like you got to go to these places. But also, I have noticed in the last couple of years, just building my community, it hasn't been as hard. And like, there's people doing these things that where you can go and you can find them. You can find us together. And so, but definitely it's a challenge for sure.
And in terms of the people that you photograph in Sitar, how do they express the feelings of not being in some of the places that they have historical roots? Because in terms of the communities of color, mm-hmm. you found more of the black population being pushed out than you have some of the people of Latin descent, but it's not always that way. But it's mm-hmm. but because for this city specifically, you had the black reservation. How do some of your subjects feel? Like either they're the last ones in the neighborhood, or they're the new ones wondering where everybody is. How does that feel for them and for you photographing them?
Yeah, I feel like that's been a big part of the conversation. Sometimes I'm talking with people about that, and sometimes I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. Sometimes I'm just asking them about them.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I feel that's something I had to learn. Like when I got here, I had to learn about Williams. It wasn't like I came here, and I could tell when I got to the street, you know. So I've taken a lot of pictures in the city. I've taken some pictures out in Gresham. But honestly, I need to spend more time in these like outer areas. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's a big part of the story, the conversation, and sometimes I'm doing full scale interviews, and then sometimes I'm just focusing on the person
in the moment.
Yeah, on the present.
So do you find either of you that some of the expressions or poses that people take have anything to do with beyond the moment? Do some of the choices that they take of how they want to be seen reflect the fact that there's been either displacement or these profound changes in community?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you find that people are more willing to express just who they are, where they mm-hmm. are at that moment?
It definitely depends. Some people, like, they have an idea. When I shoot a woman of color, I just say it's your shoot. It's like whatever you want to do. If you have an idea, you know. And so some women, yeah, they like fists in the air. They're, you know, si se puede, is like something like that. Or, you know, it's like they just want a great picture of themselves. I'm like, okay. It definitely depends on the person. But some people definitely have something to say. And sometimes they just want to say it through their photo. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's interesting. I mean, what I found is that I took the pictures, and then there were like responses to the picture from the community itself. So some of that kind of question about place and like in home and environment, while I wasn't always getting it like directly, people want to talk to me about that while I'm taking their picture. Mm-hmm. When I'm like take on like the Facebook page, I would have a picture of someone, and then I would get like a Facebook comment like, oh, I haven't seen so and so in forever, you know, or like people being able to recognize people in the community and tag them and be like, oh, did you see your picture here, or this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Especially at the start of the project, mm-hmm. where I found that it was a kind of like gathering place to see ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so those kinds of things like come out through that, where people are talking about like where they've been perhaps dispersed, or they just haven't seen people because it's been a little minute.
Right.
Or there's been dispersion, or there's been like gentrification.
So mm-hmm. you're part of your role is community building.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you suggested, the displacement, sometimes people haven't seen one another in a long time, mm-hmm. or don't know or have heard of that person. And the two of you bring people, communities together by allowing them to share their stories with one another.
Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And reconnect.
Yeah.
And also building community, it looks like, in terms of younger folks making a connection. Because I noticed most of the people that have been willing so far have been either young
mm-hmm.
or, what's a good way for me to describe it? Not exactly counterculture, but mm-hmm. kind of counterculture. Is it that that's who you have just been running more into? One of the interesting things about being in Portland and, I'll say Oregon at large, and Portland specifically, is that to survive easily or easier, you almost have to have a strong counterculture streak or tolerance for it, you know, because I've noticed that many of the mainstream people I've met, regardless of their ethnicity or initial nationality, they say, you know, this is just real different, And the folks that I find that seem to thrive have either a higher tolerance for counterculture expressions or they themselves embrace. Is that what you've both found, or is it just that most of the people who are willing to have their picture taken have just happened to be that way?
I definitely, like, for me, I'm definitely wanting to involve elders and the youth because I think it's so important to kind of connect to that. For me, it's a lot of times just people reaching out to me. They'll reach out to me on Instagram and say, hey, I've seen what you've been doing. I love it. It's so empowering to me. I would love to be a part of that. I'm like, yes. So that's usually, as long as they're, you know, somebody that does identifies as like a woman of color, I'm like, yes, let's do it. Let's make it happen. That's how it's been so far, but I'm definitely wanting to expand that. And definitely, like Intizar said, one of my visions is to go out to Gresham and really go out there and be like looking for people that I know there's people that have a story to tell. So like pushing myself to go a little bit farther out than I would normally go and just really trying to, I've yet to go up somebody in the street though. I haven't done that. That's like a little bit terrifying.
No, I think that was, I feel like that was something that I wanted to know, is that our like process is different and the result is different. I mean, I have done like the street photography, but I also will purposefully, because everyone's not out on the street, I'll purposefully try to reach out to find people who are either elders or doing something like very specific. So you will get something different. You just get,
because some
things.
People, you know, if you're like, this is what I'm gonna be like asking from you, they have time to just like think what. So for me, I want to push myself to like go up to somebody and be like, hey, this is what I'm doing, are you interested? And just like, I want to do more street photography where I'm actually like just going up to people that I don't know and seeing if they want to be a part of it. But
Well, I noticed when you said Instagram, that there was a filter, because you're either very tech savvy regardless of your age, or you're younger and you're looking to max that out as a connection and communication tool. So I could see that with the difference in your approaches, that it's going to make a difference in who you get pictures of.
No, it's true. I mean... Yeah, I mean, it's all, there's so much to say, but it's also an improvise. I kind of think of it, or at least, I mean, the whole thing is like improvisation. It's a dance. Like, you can, it's just like pieces thrown up in the air, and you just try to connect with something. I mean, this whole world is, there's so much swirling and moving at this, all these different times. So, it's an improvisation. You go with a goal or a question, and you just like... try to go with care and heart and figure it out. So yeah, even now it's still a dance. Like there's, I mean, I've been here, or I've been doing this project for 5 years, but I know there's still so much I don't know. There's people in the community I don't know. There's a lot of elders I don't know, because I'm not connected to that kind of family base where you live in a city and you know, like so-and-so knows so-and-so and you know, all the things. So yeah, it's just like a great attempt. You're just attempting.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO Community Radio. We're speaking this morning with Intizar Abiodo and Renee Lopez, photographers, people who preserve in the picture form our history. Ms. Abiodo has an exhibit currently at the Lippmann Gallery at PSU, and if you want to see at least some samples of Ms. Lopez's Women of Color project, you may go to your website,
misslopezmedia.org, and it's MISS.
And if you would like to speak with our artists or maybe urge them to take a photo of someone you know or maybe uh-huh. yourself, give us a call here at 503-231-8187. And how might people get in touch with you?
I have a Facebook page. It's the Black Portlander. So people can send me messages there. And then I also have a website that has more information.
Mm-hmm. And your website?
Oh, is theblackportlanders.com.
Okay. Okay. So this is Portland in 2017. And your camera is a news article. And a photograph, okay, it captures an image, rather. What image, if you could, that you've taken, do you think has described this year best for you? And is it up at your website mm-hmm. where you might be able to show it? Think mm-hmm. of something that really just caught you and you thought, oh my God, I'm feeling blessed now, I got this picture. Mm-hmm. Or you could tell us of one of your most exciting opportunities. Because I know you're a photographer. Every time you blink your eye, you take a picture, more or less. Mm-hmm. You know, so it changes. But there's usually a few pictures that stick with you or you were able to put together and everything came together really perfectly. And you thought, okay, this is kind of like a distillation mm-hmm. of what I've been doing for a while, and this is the picture for a while. See, you've got a smile on your face.
It's hard to pick. Uh-huh. I mean, I would say my activist photos because I go to protests, so definitely those speak for the type of year it's been. I'm sure there's some women of color ones too, but there's just, for me, every time I shoot a woman of color, I kind of feel that way. Anyways, I feel like it's just like how I met them and how it all worked out. And because some people I've been trying to shoot for like a year, and then all of a sudden it just works out and it's beautiful mm-hmm. how that all comes together. I would say though, definitely I have like, my Instagram is where I put all my work. Mm-hmm. I have my website's up, but like I really worked hard on my Instagram to like get it to where it's at. So that's also Miss Lopez Media, and it's MISS. But I captured this man holding a Mexican flag, and it went pretty. I got a good amount of numbers, but it's just this is the image. And I just happened to capture him, you know. And so if you want to.
And that's here in Portland?
Yeah, that was at a protest. That was for the DACA.
Okay. Yeah. Great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's a great picture because mm-hmm. the flag mm-hmm. is up, it's yeah. big, it's proud. It was, and he's, yes. He's
it was downtown. Yeah. So that's probably one that I was like, whoa, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you're interested.
Yeah, it's hard to choose.
Well, that doesn't mean that you don't love the other one.
Yeah. I mean, I think to me, honestly, I mean, I spend so much time with this past exhibit, like pulling yes. images mm-hmm. from my archive, looking at all these faces. I think for me, it's less about a particular picture, but the image that the pictures create together, mm-hmm, yes. being able to image a community. Mm. So even in the gallery, I spent so many hours just trying to see which person needs to be by like which person and the placement of images so that when you look, there's a feel and a vision, not just images.
Okay.
So even being able to like look at like take a step back from the corner of the gallery and look at all these images together, to me that I'm interested in a vision of our communities, whether it's just in Portland or it's like other communities of people of African descent being able to. I'm interested in us being able to envision ourselves connected. Not yeah. disconnected because yeah. of time or mm-hmm. because of histories of enslavement or various things. I'm really about trying to pull that image. So I think it's less of the one and more of like what I'm trying to like stitch together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So any particular tapestry that you're making at that time?
You said,
I said, so it's more about whatever tapestry or overall picture that you're stitching at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I've been taking pictures of like people of African descent in other communities. So I took pictures in like St. Louis and in Memphis and Harlem, like being able to shoot like the Southern Heritage Classic Parade, and also shoot like the African American Day Parade in Harlem in August, and being able to like see those images together, you know, to me it's about, that's what I'm really excited about. It's all of it.
I did get a chance. I had a gallery show at C3 Initiative in, when was it? It was in the summer. And I did put, it was my first time doing only my women of color. So again, yeah, being able to see them all together like that was so beautiful. I was like, I cried because I was like, look at all these beautiful people like to get in this room. And it's like so empowering. And so yeah, definitely more, it's like when you can see it all come together like that in a gallery show where you can see all the work. Because you look at it, I usually, you know, we're looking at a screen most of the time. Yes. Right. So to be able to print it out and see it there, it's like, whoa. So yeah.
Advice for artists who haven't quite figured out what their role is in capturing images from either of you. Because I heard you both say it didn't start out as a compulsion, a passion. It's something that developed as you recognize what you had in your hand, so to speak. You know, especially when you were saying, well, you know, I want to be part of the music scene, but I don't sing, I don't dance, I don't rap, you know. And you found yourself more able to express thoughts you had. So for a young person or anybody really listening, what would you say to them if they're trying to find their voice and their medium?
I was kind of shooting everything, and then I kind of like I just kind of was like looking at what do people like the most, or what do I like to shoot the most, and it's come down to I love to do portraits. That's probably my favorite thing, and then live music. So I would say start out shooting everything and just keep practicing. At least a year straight, I worked full time, and every night, like almost every night, it was crazy. I would go to a show and shoot it, and because I was not good, like, you know, I've started out, sometimes I use my phone. So just like keep practicing and go and like just keep doing it and keep doing it, and you'll just get better and better. But you know, if you're not sure what you want to shoot, you just shoot everything. And then you'll kind of start breaking it down. Like, okay, it seems like I'm better at this than this. And then it just comes down to, like, those are my two favorite things to do, is portraits and in live music. So that's what I'm focusing on now mainly. So.
And both of you mentioned in terms of beginning early when you were young, young children, youth, teenagers, and trying to find, in a strange way, your voice through the lens. Now that you've been doing it for a while, and just as how do you envision your role in mentoring other young people?
I'm actually thinking about this. Like these days, I mean, I've had a lot of adventures with photography, being able to like just like either sometimes like travel on things that I just decide to go myself, you know, just being like youthful and saying, yeah, I can do this, you know, I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but you know, just that kind of thing. And I've had a lot of that, and I guess being 31 now and also feeling I feel like I want to be able to share information, and that I think there is like a line and a legacy of kind of like transference, you know, whether it's like dance or it's writing or it's just having a spirit, just being able to have spirit and passion and feeling like, yeah, like we can figure this out. We can ask questions. We can come up with answers. We can come up with new questions. I do want to be able to somehow share. And I'm still figuring that out. I don't teach very much. But I think I want to figure out my way, similarly to your question of how do you figure out your medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I want to figure out my best way to transfer the fact that these things are possible, that, mm-hmm. that we can do these yeah. things. Yeah. Yeah.
I've done a little bit of stuff too, but I would love to be able to work with youth and be like, hey, you can do it. You know, this is what I did. I could share my story of how I did it because I didn't go to school for this. I didn't, you know, I self-taught like Intizar and it was just this drive and that, you know, I don't really know where that came from except that I know I love to be creative. And so it was like, this is the way I could do it. So yeah, I definitely would love to, I don't know, you know, how that's, yeah, like I think it's like figuring out how that's all going to manifest. I don't know, but I think that's in my future for sure.
And I would suggest that it's not only young people, that
yeah.
it's older people mm-hmm. who might say, well, I have time, I don't yeah. know what to do, and, you know, yeah. I want to tell our story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't have an age yeah. minimum mm-hmm. or
yeah.
That's
or
true.
Maximum. Maximum, right.
Yeah.
Right. You are listening to Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7 here in the metro area, 91.9 in Points East. If you're in the Willamette River Valley, it's 104.3, and everywhere it's KBOO.FM. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we've got, of course, the Old Mole Variety Hour with Ken Burns on Vietnam, reproductive justice in Oregon, and a review of the novel Manhattan Beach and more. 10 o'clock, Locust Focus and Barbara Bernstein talking to National Wildlife Federation about the intersection of wildlife, wildfire, climate change, and forest management. 11 o'clock at Health Watch, information to make you healthier. And Radio Zine comes in at 11:30, presenting excerpts from the documentary I Am Not Your Negro, a story of James Baldwin's unfinished novel on Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, and Medgar Evers. I'm going to put a word in for that. Rent it, see it, buy it. KBOO keeps you informed, and you can get involved. Go to KBOO.FM, that's KBOO.FM, and click on Donate to become a member. You can do that today.
We're running very short on time, and you have to run out to take your daughter to school.
I gotta go. But yeah, thank you so much. This has been amazing. I appreciate being able to come on here.
Well, we appreciate you being able to come here. Hope that you'll call this your home.
Yes.
And once again, before you both go, how can people get in contact with you?
So it's my website is misslopezmedia.org, and then another great place is on Instagram, and it's at misslopezmedia, and it's M-I-S-S.
Yeah, so for that project, it's just theblackportlanders.com or on Facebook, you can look that up. And it's also at my personal website, IntisarAbioto.com. You can go to the previous website to figure out how to spell that, because I'm sure that's not going to translate. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And
thank you.
Keep your eye out on us.
Yeah. I want to find more people I know and say, oh, yes, I know that person.
Yes, indeed. Well, this is Your Community Connection, KBOO Portland, 90.7. Stay tuned. Coming up, the Old Mo Variety Hour.
KABU Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KABU in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KABU Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
KABU Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Sprig, presented by the Portland Folk Music Society, November 17th in Portland. Sprig is a gathering of musicians from all over the world who happen to come together in Portland. See how this quartet pulls their audience from Eastern Europe to the cafes of 1930s Paris and the dark hollows of Appalachia. Again, that's Sprig, presented by the Portland Folk Music Society, Friday, November 17th at 7:30 p.m. at the Colonial Heights Presbyterian Church, 2828 Southeast Stevens Street, Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. We don't want our fingers in the pot.
I was a mole in the ground. If I was a mole in the ground, I'd root that mountain down. And I wish I was a mole in the ground.
Good morning. You are tuned to KBOO here in Portland, where the time is 9 o'clock and time for the Old Mole Variety Hour. I'm your host, Clayton Morgridge, along with our engineer, Patsy Kullberg, bringing you an hour of news, views, reviews, and interviews from the mole's underground perspective. The old mole was Karl Marx's image of the revolution that works a way underground to root down the edifices of capitalism and the corrupt political system that governs us all on behalf of capital, that mass of accumulated social